Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the Universal Christ. And before we get started, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And also, the main inspiration of the dialogue, for the dialogue that you hear on this show, comes from the works of Alice Bailey. She also wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the following thought comes from her works as well. The outstanding need of Christianity today is to emphasize the living, risen Christ. We have argued too long over the death of Christ. Let us now unite on the basis of the risen Christ, the cosmic Christ, eternally on the cross, yet eternally alive. Christ, the historical Savior, founder of Christianity, the mystic, the mythic Christ, seen in the Gospels, and Christ alive today in every human heart. From this it seems that there is more than one Christ. Is that true?
I suppose one could say there's more than one aspect to Christ, more than one perception of him. We've talked on these programs in the past about how Christ is the same entity expected by people of many different faiths and many different religions. And Alice Bailey once made the comment that one of the great travesties was the claiming of the Christian church as the sole possessor of Christ, or something to that effect. If you think back to the time when Christ appeared on earth, there was no Christianity. He, in fact, came into the family of Judaism and was a rabbi. And I don't know that he had an intention to found a great world religion. He came to teach the whole of humanity. And somehow the rising up of a religion around his teachings has led that particular religion to be seen as the custodian of his essence. Yet, as Alice Bailey said, the Christ as the founder of Christianity, through his overshadowing of Jesus, is seen as, by most people, as the only Christ. And yet, the word Messiah from the Hebrew means the same thing as the Greek word Christ does. They both mean the Anointed One. And in fact, he is expected by the Buddhists, who call him the Maitreya, the Coming One. And he's expected by the Muslims of the Shiite variety, I think, who know him as the Imam Mahdi. So there are people all over the world looking for the same great entity, but not necessarily by the same name.
Yes, and I think the name is the big problem today, because the name has been so personified in the body or in the image of a Jesus or of Christ or Jesus Christ, and it's so narrowly interpreted and so personally personified that it kind of blocks off any discussion or any expansion of awareness of the greater dimensions of the Christ.
We've talked in the past about what an avatar is. Christ is an example of an avatar. That's a Sanskrit word meaning a great being who comes down from far away to embody something on earth, a divine quality on earth. And Christ, in his last incarnation, embodied divine love. And we are still working out the right expression of that love in human relationships. But there's another expression of Christ, which you touched on in your opening thought. It's a concept called the cosmic Christ. And this is a fascinating idea to explore. The cosmic Christ is the presence of divinity in outer manifestation, God in the world, we could say. And this is an expression of Christ that is found not only within his own person as Jesus, but found within the human family and found throughout the world in all kingdoms as the urge to grow, to evolve, to become conscious.
And consciousness is the real key factor here, because it also represents the consciousness of that kingdom, the kingdom of souls, or the consciousness of the soul. And it's the Christ consciousness that is also represented by the Christ. And that's also probably why it's maybe confusing to some people that it's so personified that it's difficult for some to identify Christ as also being a principle.
Maybe if we explore the concept with the word immanent. Immanent means within, dwelling within. God immanent in the human heart is the Christ aspect. God in the world is immanent within the world, present within his creation. And this is the presence of divinity on earth is embodied in the person of the Christ. We could say that Christ, as most people know him, is the embodiment of divinity in human form. He is not God in this sense, but he is the embodiment of divine potential within the human form. Then if we take that idea and say that the Christ principle present in every human heart, no matter how unredeemed that human being might be, no matter how lowly in his development he might be, somewhere in his deepest essence there is the Christ principle, simply because he is human. And the Christ principle is that divine potential that dwells or lurks within every human being and that awaits fruition, awaits awakening, awaits fulfillment. And the whole point of life on earth, and if you believe in it, the whole point of reincarnation is to bring this Christ principle, this essence of consciousness, into its full expression.
And that is essentially the soul, bringing the soul into its full expression, which is, and the essence of the soul is light and the energies of love. And that's essentially what Christ represented when he was in the world. He represented the love of God. And this is, represents the great potential that lies in every human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked a lot in recent programs about the seven rays. And the past age of 2,000 years, governed by the sixth ray of idealism and devotion, was the period in which the historical Christ, the one we know as Jesus Christ, is most predominant in human minds. And we can see the devotion and the idealism of the sixth ray transplanted onto our view of Jesus Christ. He is the ideal. And unfortunately, one aspect of this has led to the doctrine of original sin, which, as I understand it, says that due to the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, every human being is born a wretched, hopeless case until he is saved by Christ. The point of that belief being that Christ, separate from humanity, is the Savior. Human beings left to their own devices cannot make it on their own. They are sinful, hopeless wretches. I think that's a travesty of what Christ really intended to teach, because he said, greater things than I have done ye shall do. And Paul, his great proclaimer, spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is, I think, the more accurate view of Christ's mission, which was to embody and demonstrate as a prototype the same potential that exists within every human being. The Christ principle is the hope of glory that every human being is obligated, we could say, as the soul, to bring into full expression.
And there is another aspect of that saying. I think it was one of the sayings that Jesus, no one goes to the Father except by me.
Which is a very narrow gate.
That's right. And it's interpreted very narrowly. You mm-hmm. have to believe in this. Here again, it's getting back to the narrow view of Jesus. And one has to believe in this person of Jesus in order to be saved, in order to reach the Father. When actually, if one thinks about it, it's what Christ and Jesus represent that is really what is meant here. No one goes to the Father except through the expression of love in your life.
And through the awakening of the soul, which is consciousness.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's that middle principle. Every human being has to go through this middle stage.
It's a progression,
expressed by the soul, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, what Christ really meant. I know that's what he meant. And so it gets lost in translation if you interpret it only as a physical being that you have to believe in.
Mm-hmm. This mention of Christ as the second aspect is something that we could develop a bit more, perhaps after the break. It's also discussed in a book by Alice Bailey called The Reappearance of the Christ, but we can come back to this in a few minutes.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, The Universal Christ. We have a special offer from Luce's publishing company, and that's the Alice Bailey book entitled The Reappearance of the Christ. Now, many religions today expect the coming of an avatar or savior, and this expectation of a world teacher for the coming age is presented in the context of the continuity of divine revelation throughout the ages, as the same great identity in all the world religions. But if you want to explore today's topic, the Universal Christ, if you'd like to explore it in depth, probably the best Alice Bailey book to peruse would be the book that we're offering today at a discount, which is called The Reappearance of the Christ. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so that all you're paying for the book is $12. And please mention that you heard the offer on the radio program, Inner Sight. So what you need to do, and if you want to take advantage of this special offer, is send us a check or a money order for $12 to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, the title of the book, The Reappearance of the Christ by Alice Bailey. We thank you and appreciate the support that you've given us in the past. We hope you continue to give us that type of support, because that's what keeps us on the air. So if you'd like to continue doing so, we certainly welcome it. And send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And those donations are tax deductible, by the way. And if you'd like to order a general package of information that tells you all about Lucis Trust, I guess the most frequently asked question, is it a religion? And no, it's not a religion. It's a spiritual philosophy organization. People from all walks of life and backgrounds come to our meetings. But if you'd like to get a schedule of our meditation meetings or a general package of information, give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org, and you can find out a lot of information about Lucis Trust on the website, and the primary reason people key into the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. Now, I might understand, Sarah and Dale, that Alice Bailey is saying that each person has divinity within himself or mm-hmm. herself, and that we, as time goes on and through evolvement, can actualize this divinity.
Yes, that's the quality called the Christ principle in mm-hmm. the ageless wisdom, the potential to be Christ-like in our evolutionary development. And I think the the disassociation of this Christ principle from all of humanity and transfixed onto one historical figure, Jesus Christ, is a great shame, because he was demonstrating for humanity a potential that exists within all of us, and we have instead seen it as only possible in him. And that is, as I mentioned, probably a reflection of the sixth ray tendency to idealize and to idolize. But now, with the incoming seventh ray, which is fostering the fusion of spirit and matter, we should be able to grasp the presence of the cosmic Christ in all manifestation. And this comes back to the point Dale mentioned, that Christ, or the soul consciousness, is the second aspect of the divine Trinity. And again, Trinity is not something claimed only by Christianity. A number of great religions, including Hinduism, have a doctrine of the Trinity. The most familiar to us Westerners is probably expressed in Christian terms as the Father, the Spirit aspect, the Mother or Holy Ghost, which is the third aspect, the intelligence latent within all matter, and the second aspect, the Son or Christ, which is consciousness. Christ is the embodiment of that second person, just as every human being is an embodiment of this Trinity. We are spirit in our highest essence. We are matter in our body, our material physical form, and we are Christ-like. We are an expression of the Christ principle in our soul consciousness.
Yes, and I think there's, just to maybe reiterate or to expand on that idea, that Christ and Jesus are also two different figures. They're usually drawn together as Christ, Jesus Christ, is one person, but in actual fact, I think, according to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, there are two individualities involved here. There is the Christ on the one hand, and then the Master Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, Christ, as you said earlier, overshadowed or worked through Jesus, and so they, in a sense, became one for a period during the ministry of Jesus, during the what is now celebrated during the Easter festival.
Alice Bailey speaks of the Christ as overshadowing mm-hmm. the Master Jesus.
Right. And that's maybe a concept that's a little bit difficult to grasp or to handle, but maybe even blasphemous to some people. But nevertheless, I think if one can begin to see it that way, then it makes more sense than Christ needed a more purified vehicle to work through, and that was the Master Jesus, to enable this greater expression of love, the love of God, the divine energy of love, to make anchorage in human consciousness.
And that is why Christ is expected again by so many of the world faiths, because he has overshadowed and worked through a number of incarnations, including, according to the Age's Wisdom, the life of Krishna, which is very close to Christ in its etymology, or whatever the word is. But the cosmic Christ, Christ present in manifestation, Alice Bailey said, has existed from all eternity. And it personifies the sacrifice of spirit by entering into matter for purposes of redeeming it. In order to have a manifested universe, spirit must incarnate in matter, and this is accomplished through the cosmic Christ. The cross is the symbol of this fusion of spirit and matter. And again, unfortunately, it's an ancient symbol that it has been claimed and associated with Christianity, so that now, just a week or so ago, I heard that the pending merging of the Red Cross and the Red Crescent philanthropies are having a problem over the cross. The cross is seen as Christian and it should go. Well, that's a shame, because the Red Cross was founded in Switzerland by a Swiss, Henri Dunant, and that cross, which is even armed, not the typical Christian cross, is the symbol on the Swiss flag, and you see it throughout Switzerland. I once heard a Swiss intellectual give a talk on the meaning of the cross as the Swiss view it. It's an ancient symbol, and as I said, it is the symbol of the fusion of spirit and matter. It is not associated with any particular religion in that sense. So the idea of spirit coming to outer manifestation through the cosmic Christ is one that I find really fascinating to think about and ponder on.
Yeah, the cosmic Christ is the same pattern repeated on the cosmic scale, and the cosmic from a solar Christ. You know, it's making greater entities making this sacrifice by entering into material existence and working with the material for the purposes of purifying it, uplifting it, and increasing the vibration rate, if you want to express it that way. And also the historical Christ repeated the same pattern by coming into the world and undergoing the sacrifice. And each one of us understand that sacrifice is an expression of the Christ. So it's the same pattern that's repeated from the personal on up to the planetary on to the solar levels. You get this same cosmic pattern of Christ.
I suppose the idea of the sacrifice on the cross of matter is undergone by every soul at birth, when the soul descends into the very limited, tiny 7-pound body of a brand new human being and submits to the limitations of that form in order to develop and evolve on earth through the human experience. That's an act of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. There's a symbol associated with Christianity that might give listeners an image that they could use to understand what we're talking about, and that is the fish. It's in fact a symbol that's associated also with the Hindu concept of Christ, known as Vishnu. And many people probably know that the fish was an ancient symbol of the early Christians. It, when you think about it, the fish swims in water. It's immersed in water. And that might be an analogy for the fusion of spirit and matter. In order to enter into the material realm, just as the fish enters into the ocean, Christ is incarnated. And the fish swimming in the waters of matter might be the symbolism of the soul fused or embodied within the personality, the outer man.
Yes, of course, and that's that's also the symbol of the Piscean Age,
mm-hmm.
and that's why the fish was so symbolic, a symbol in the early days of Christ when he was on earth, and it became the found his disciples among the fishers, among the fishermen, became the fishers of men and so forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's another concept of Christ from Hinduism, Ishvara. There's Vishnu, as in the Trinity, Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma, which are spirit, soul, and matter, or father, son, and mother. Ishvara is a term from Hinduism that refers to the cosmic Christ, Christ present in the world, present in the heart of each human being. And there's a wonderful sutra from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali that says devotion to Ishvara is the path of evolution. Again, that's saying devotion to the soul, orienting oneself to the highest cosmic Christ principle that one can identify within oneself is the means of personal evolution.
And here again, if we can also look beyond this personal identification with Jesus, with the Christ, if we can look beyond this narrow view, we will enable us, each one of us, to expand our whole concept of Christ. And because on Christ is coming into the world again in this Aquarian age, he's returning, and to really understand his place in the world, we're going to have to expand our own concept of him. So it's very necessary to begin that expansion.
I hope through some of these ideas people can begin to explore the idea of Christ in a new way, not giving up their old concept of Christ, but perhaps seeing it with more depth.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the book, The Reappearance of the Christ, by Alice Bailey, and it's a chance for you to explore today's topic in greater depth. It's available for $12. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so please send a check or a money order for $12 to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to call us for any reason, give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.